Welcome to my series of truths and myths of history. Here are some of the truths and myths about the nation's capital. You may know that D.C.'s height limit has nothing to do with preventing buildings from overshadowing the Capitol. That's a myth. A building there can only be 20 feet higher than the width of the street it faces. Congress first established a height limit in Washington in 1899, mainly out of concern for fire safety in tall buildings. But what about Washington's other myths, legends, and tall tales? There is the rumor that Robert E. Lee's profile is carved into the back of Abe Lincoln's head at the Lincoln Memorial. Before the radical progressives demand that Abe be torn down, let me assure you that the rumor is false. Was there ever a real exorcism in Georgetown? The movie, The Exorcist, made a stairway in Georgetown famous. But the real event took place in Mount Rainier, just over the D.C. line. According to the articles that ran in the Washington Post in 1949, a 14-year-old boy in the Prince George's County town was possessed by the devil and successfully exorcised by a priest. While that may be true, it did not occur in Georgetown. And there is a D.C. rumor that the term Beltway Bandits was coined to describe defense contractors. But that's not true. As Washington became a hub for companies taking advantage of government dollars, this phrase became popular. However, the term has roots predating the era of lucrative contracting deals. When the Beltway opened in the early 1960s, a burglary ring used the new highway as an easy getaway after robbing homes in Virginia and Maryland. A 1968 Washington Post headline referred to one of the indicted thieves as a Beltway Bandit, and the term struck. Another Washington rumor is that Ulysses S. Grant invented the term lobbyist to describe power brokers who approached him while he relaxed in the Willard Hotel's lobby. That's false. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word lobbyist appeared in London's Cornhill magazine in 1863. Grant was president from 1869 to 1877. That term has its roots in 17th century England. Yet another false rumor about Washington, D.C., is that the Maryland-Virginia border is in the middle of the Potomac River. It's been a source of contention for years, but the Potomac is Maryland territory. The Virginia boundary ends at the shoreline. The law dates back to 1877, an agreement that granted Maryland control of the river up to the low water mark on the Virginia shore. In 2003, the boundary made news when Maryland Governor Paris Clendenning refused to let Fairfax County extend a water intake pipe to the river's middle. The Supreme Court upheld Maryland's sovereignty, but ruled that Virginia was free to make improvements on its shoreline, allowing pipes to extend past the state's official border. If you are sailing on the Potomac, you are in Maryland, not Virginia. There's also the rumor that no one is really from Washington. But according to U.S. Census data, 46% of the people living in the District of Columbia were born there. That does not include people who grew up in the Maryland or Virginia suburbs and then moved to D.C. So there are a lot more native Washingtonians than many people think. And were the district's traffic circles designed to stop an invading army? No, when you're stuck in traffic, it may come as comfort that the city's many roundabouts have a function beyond throwing a wrench into your travels. It's also claimed that Pierre L'Enfant included the circles in his plan for the city so that soldiers could position cannons to prevent an enemy attack. But according to Jane Friundle, historian for Cultural Tourism DC, his idea was actually to see the circles to the states and to have the states set up as embassies and business around the circles. L'Enfant's vision was overly ambitious. The states were too busy developing themselves to be concerned with developing the capital as well. And it isn't quite true that the district's residents live on a swamp. Everything from humid summers to the murky character of certain politicians has been blamed on George Washington's decision to build the federal city on a swamp. That area has always been water-rich, with tributaries of the Potomac and Anacostia rivers and Rock Creek crossing the land where D.C. now stands. But was it ever a swamp, defined as an area of standing water where trees grow? Historians say the land near the rivers would best be described as a tidal marsh, prone to flooding but not technically swampland. There are many rumors about Washington, D.C. Another is that the White House has a marble facade, but that's false. The building is made from Akea sandstone, a light gray material from a quarry near Akea Creek in Virginia's Stafford County. Because the creek flowed into the Potomac, the stone was relatively easy to transport to the site, and the stone's malleability made it an ideal building material. After construction was completed in 1800, on what was then called the President's House, the stone began to discolor and crack. To remedy this, the entire structure was coated in glossy white paint. That's when the residence became known as the White House. That name was made official in 1901. But what about the rumor that the Washington Monument's color changes a third of the way up because that was the high water mark of a great flood? It's a myth. When construction began in 1848, the monument was privately funded. In 1854, the money ran out. With the start of the Civil War, interest in completing the structure fell by the wayside. It was not until 1879, after Congress appropriated funds, that work on the monument resumed. The builders could not find the exact same stone initially used, so they chose stone that became slightly darker as it weathered. That change begins about 150 feet up. There are always two sides to a story. Now you know the other side of the Washington, D.C.'s truth and myths. I'll be back again next Wednesday, God willing, with more truth and myths of history. Till then, God bless America.